What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey everybody, Jeff Phelps here. The National Sports Collectors Convention is coming to Cleveland. And so is PSA's tradition for grading the show's finest. Submit your collectibles for on-site authentication over 5 days starting July 24th and see why PSA is number one in preserving and enhancing value for cards, tickets, packs, autographs, and memorabilia. More info at psacard.com. PSA, our label means more.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
And the pitch, swing, high fly ball, left of center and deep. Bader back to the wall. There it goes. Home run. O'Neill Cruz into the bullpen. The Pirates bullpen. That was a long one. And the Pirates take a 2-0 lead on their first hit of the day. Went to a guy with a lot of experience either. Line drive to right toward the wall. Home run. Palacios. Hits the seats and right. Home run number one, and the Bucks are having some fun.
Yes, they did. They had some fun yesterday. The bats were popping. As you heard right there, Palacios with a home run after being called up, a couple days ago. Just really coming onto the scene, was playing very well in AAA, and then obviously O'Neill Cruz smacking one out of the park. The Pirates win against the Mets 8-2. They split the series. They are now 43-47 on the year. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. And, I mean, we start there. You know, I mean, the All-Star game is right around the corner. They have two more series. They have a series against the Brewers that starts tonight at 8:10 p.m. And then after that, they have a series against the White Sox to really wrap things up before the All-Star game festivities start. Mitch Keller yesterday, 8 innings, 6 strikeouts. I heard you on your show, Callis, and I'm kind of right with you. Like, I wanted to come in here after my week off and be like, okay, the Pirates are right in the thick of things. They've done the necessary things to keep them alive, but they did exactly what they've been doing all year. They split series against the Mets. They lose games that they need to win. They blow starts of guys like Paul Skenes. I mean, they just, you know, it is so hard to get in line with this Pirates team, and we still have no answer or even an inkling or even a feeling on if they're going to buy before the deadline, or what are they going to add? Do they need to add? If they do add the one piece or two pieces, will that be enough? I mean, it is just, it's mind-boggling, but at the same time, it's not mind-boggling. Like, it's just, I...
You felt like you expected it, but you also want them to be better.
Yes.
They're playing as you might have expected them to play, but you want them to be better because it feels like they're closer because every team's in it this season.
You know what, Kals? I was looking on Twitter or X, whatever you call it, and after yesterday's game, and some big names, you know, that are affiliated with MLB Network, that are affiliated with Major League Baseball, that are former players that have big names. And I saw a lot of consensus around what they were tweeting. And these are things, and I know we're talking about Twitter, but like, these are things that haven't happened in a long time. The people are talking about the Pirates outside of Pittsburgh.
And I think Skenes has a lot to do with that.
He does have a lot to do with that. But at the same time, I saw a consensus of people saying, people that have a voice in baseball say that, man, if the Pirates would just add and spend some money, that they could be very, very dangerous.
Did you hear my counter to them trading or adding?
No, I didn't.
I think that they're looking at the standings, and I'm going to call like seven games back as my threshold. All the American League teams, but four of them, are within seven games. All the National League teams, minus two of them, are five games back of a wild card spot. So that leaves you with six potential sellers by the deadline.
Mm-hmm.
Unless the teams that are in contention right now are going to wave the white flag.
Right.
You're not getting veteran help from most of the teams in Major League Baseball right now. I know as Pirate fans, we wouldn't wave the white flag. We wouldn't send, well, maybe we might send Chapman, bad example. But we wouldn't send, like, Rowdy at this point the way he's hitting.
Right.
We wouldn't send off, you know, Reynolds. We wouldn't send off any of those veterans. Like, think about that, you know. Why would any other team sell some of their biggest names?
Yeah, that is a great point. That is a great point, and I don't have the answer for that. But in order to sell and in order to acquire, you have to be willing to negotiate. Like, if you really want something, it doesn't even matter if it's baseball, it could be in life. You have to be willing to persuade. So whether you have the mentality that, oh, everybody is in it and who's going to be willing to sell by the deadline because everybody feels they're in it, there's always – people will always answer the phone if the price is right, if it's a right situation.
But it's got to be the right prospect to the point where, like, the prospect you're trading away to them is worth giving up one of their stable pieces.
Right, right.
So you're right, the price is right, but it's going to be – right now it's going to be a hefty price because winning is in high demand right now.
Well, I mean, how it should be in a higher demand for you. Winning is in a high demand in with all these teams, right? Is that what you're saying? Winning
is in a high demand. There's a surplus of winning right now.
Yes.
And it's in high demand. Well, winning's always in high demand. That was
yeah, no, I get what you're saying, though.
There's a surplus of winning, though.
Yeah.
All but six teams are within wild card distance.
Yes.
Or, you know, any playoff spot.
Yes.
All but six teams.
Okay, but okay, so then that comes down to this. Do the Pirates think that their window is now? Because if it is, then you have to be willing to go out and get what you think that could make that window, make the appropriate moves for that window to stay open. And how are the other teams feeling about their window right now? Could their window be next year?
Well, to cite Charrington's comments as well, he said every season is precious.
Every season is precious. It's precious for everybody.
Right.
But okay, is your window different than some other team's window? Are they just going to go for it right now? Or are they a young team and thinking like, oh, maybe we're a year away, and if we get a couple prospects, then next year will be our window?
I mean, we've talked about this before, too. I've said this plenty of times. Who out there right now is even good enough to tip the balance in the Pirates' favor to the point where they can actually go on a winning streak and get back into the, you know, the thick of the race?
I agree.
It's such a weird season, Dorn.
It is a very weird season. I mean, not one or two guys are going to do that. But it is also, for you as Pittsburgh Pirates, like, the rental thing is out the window. Like, I never even thought that was a good idea whenever, you know, we were talking about this maybe a month or two ago. But if somebody or two guys that you can get that you know can be staples in your lineup for next year and the year after, if you have some control over them, like, if you can give up young prospects that are maybe in the same position, position-wise on the field, as somebody you could trade for that you could have for a while that could be a part of this mix that you have right now, like, maybe it isn't this year, but at least that you went for it to know that it's going to be maybe this year and possibly next year too. Like, I don't know. Like, that's why we're not getting paid the big bucks and we're not Ben Charrington to make these decisions. But at the same time, I do know that if you want something, you got to go get it. And you can't sit on your hands. And you can't say, well, you know what? Well, this team, you know, they're still in it. Oh, well, you know what? Well, this team, they feel like, you know, their record is kind of similar to ours, so they're probably not going to. How do you know if you don't pick up the phone and call?
Well, I mean, we don't know he's not. I'm just saying that, like, maybe he is, but the return that they're going to get is not worth selling off some of their top prospects. And I don't know that the Pirates are also willing, like, the Pirates, none of the teams seem like sellers and none of the teams seem like buyers. You can make an argument for both sides that they're, and it's not great talk radio when you talk about that. Like, you know, we're in the middle here, but that's what this situation is with Major League Baseball. Everybody's in the middle. And it's really difficult. Maybe he has tried. We don't know.
No, yeah, you're right.
Maybe he has tried, but like the reality of this situation is everybody's pulling at the rope very equally right now, and there's not a great, you know, margin between all the teams. So I can understand how nothing's getting done at this point because no team wants to do anything because everybody's so close.
So basically you have to rely on what you have. And is that good enough?
And I would argue no, unless that was a teaser and I ruined it. Sorry.
No, it wasn't.
Okay.
It wasn't at all. No, it was a legit question.
I also don't think they're good enough constructed right now to push through. They've got to dig deep and find something within to make that work. But they've proven that they haven't been able to go on a streak. Now, I don't know how that's going to get more likely they're going to go on a run after the All-Star break or after the deadline.
Then that goes back to, like, see, like, this is – there's a lot of – minutia in this, because then to me, if you have to rely on what you have right now and that possibly not being good enough, then shame on you in the off season, last off season, about not getting the right pieces for this season, knowing that you had a 1-1 prospect, knowing that you had the first overall pick, and knowing that you probably, I mean, I'm not going to say that it came down in the minute, with whether it was Cruz, Dylan Cruz or Skeens. They knew probably for a while who it was going to be. They knew that it was going to be Skeens. That's how these things work. So you knew that you had a guy that was probably a transcending piece for your organization and in baseball altogether. Could possibly be that. And you didn't make the right moves in the offseason, and now you're in this situation because everybody's in the same boat. Shame on you. Shame on you for not making the right moves at the time that you could have made moves.
Do you think they knew Skeens was going to be this good?
They knew that he was going to be really good at some point. They probably didn't know this fast.
Because, I mean, his double-A start that he got in 2023 didn't go very well, and he turned it around and dominated triple-A and has now dominated Major League Baseball. It just doesn't happen. I mean, did they think he was going to be such an effective piece so soon?
I mean, did you? Because
After I saw his double-A start, I thought he was going to struggle more. Not be a bad pitcher, but I thought he was going to have his moments. And he really hasn't. He really hasn't.
Well, I didn't, and you watch more baseball and you follow more baseball than I ever have, but we had the opportunity of seeing him pitch in college. And I know college in every sport compared to the pros, and especially baseball, is night and day. I get that. But you can't teach 100-plus miles per hour and dominating like that. I don't care what the transition is. No, I kind of knew that he was probably going to be pretty good, and because of the mental makeup that he had of playing catcher and being able to hit.
Yeah.
I think I was like, this guy, and he's in his stature.
I don't always use the velocity as a barometer too much anymore. It's nice to throw a triple digit, you know, in velocity.
Yeah, but the way he was doing it, Callis, LSU in the World Series, like, you're just like, what?
Major leaguers now just are used to that more, and I think they turn those around more. And I've seen high velocity guys struggle at times too, because hitters just, you know, they time up the fastball well and they hit. And so I'm not saying he's a bad pitcher now. I'm saying that I am believing that he's pitching over what I expected him to do.
Well, shouldn't you anticipate that if you have the 1-1 overall pick and you're in love with the guy and you have the best prospect?
No, guys still need time to develop.
I know,
no matter what.
But I
also think he's changing the landscape, I think, for a lot of how prospects are going to develop moving forward. I think a lot of teams may rush those guys now.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Especially if they show promise, because, you know, the traditional let's just develop them way, I mean, the Pirates may have revolutionized that.
You know what? Let's actually stick with that. That's a good point.
Okay.
That's a good point. Let's stick with that when we come back. Fan text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Are teams going to start rushing prospects? And should have. Actually, we'll talk about that next. Celebrate Christmas in July with us. Odyssey and Humane Animal Rescue of Pittsburgh invite you to join.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey everybody, Jeff Phelps here. The National Sports Collectors Convention is coming to Cleveland. And so is PSA's tradition for grading the show's finest. Submit your collectibles for on-site authentication over 5 days starting July 24th and see why PSA is number one in preserving and enhancing value for cards, tickets, packs, autographs, and memorabilia. More info at psacard.com. PSA, our label means more.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Going to stuff the doghouse on July 13th and 14th. Drive through and donate pet supplies at Harps Northside or Eastside locations and help make a difference for our furry friends. Items to donate include dried dog food and puppy food, treats, and more. Visit the events page at 937thefan.com for the full list. Also, the Fan Morning Show brought to you by Guardian Protection. Dickerson, Callis here with you on the Fan Morning Show. Crowley is back tomorrow. I just want to say thanks to Jeff Hathorn, Jim Colony, Zeiss, Mueller for holding the fort down as well with you, Callis, while Crowley and I were out. Crowley, as you guys know, has been on paternity leave. He will be back tomorrow. I took a little vacation, as I said in the pre-show, went to Cleveland for a family reunion. I also went to Kalahari during that vacation. Got to watch a lot of baseball games that my kids had and tournaments and things of that. Good stuff of that. So I enjoyed my time off, but I'm ready to rock and roll and full steam ahead into football season. And, you know, that's my favorite season. So I'm excited. Kyle, you brought up something very interesting in the last segment. The way that Skeens has really jumped on the scene and has really risen to stardom so fast. You believe that, and there's always trends every year in professional sports. I mean, football, you know, you got the, and obviously it started with, okay, offense and throwing the football and, you know, what is the next McVay? Who's the next Shanahan? The trees and the trends that you see in the NFL, basketball, three-point shooting by Steph Curry, things of that nature. So there are always trends. But you said in the last segment that you do believe that prospects will be rushed now because Skeens has jumped on the scene so quickly. Do you really think that people are going to take that approach, or is Skeens just a one-off? Because, I mean, like I said before, I knew that Skeens was going to be good, and I was a person that said that he should have just started from day one up on the opening day roster. Like, why not? Like, I 100 miles per hour, 100 plus miles per hour, you know, his stature, his mental makeup of, you know, being in the military, his work ethic every single day. There's so many things that I was like, what does this guy need to prove, and why are you going to waste pitches in AA or AAA whenever you know this guy could come on the scene now? But, you know, he's here, and he's an all-star. We're going to talk about that for sure, but he's an all-star already. Do you think that this will be a trend moving forward for teams that have, top five picks that they think can help their major league squad?
Yeah, so I want to backpedal a little bit because I think the word rushed wasn't the right word. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that they're going to rush guys, and I think there's some development that's going to have to take place for them to, you know, come to the majors. Paul Skeens was much quicker, though. I think that teams may look at this and maybe, you know, prospects being brought up early, it wasn't necessarily a trusted thing to do. I think you're less likely with hitters, too, to have that happen because hitters, I mean, we've seen fail immensely when they've been brought up too early. You know, Jackson Holliday struggled this year, for example.
So you think it's harder to hit?
I think it's harder to hit, yes.
Really?
Now, well, yeah. I mean, pitchers have control of everything. They have control of where the ball is going to go and how much time, how much time they want to take. But, yeah, I mean, when they're on the mound, they start the process of everything. I mean, hitters in the game, they're designed to fail, you know, because there is no clock. There is no definite clock overall. I mean, there's clock, you know, in between.
Right.
You know what I mean. But
things change
so
much.
So I think, though, I mean, with pitchers, if you have somebody who's this good, like a 1-1 overall guy, I think that they're not going to do – a lot of teams may stop doing the, well, he has to spend one full year in the major – or one full year in the minors, you know, thing that they've been doing. I think that they may trust minor leaguers more to give them a shot in Major League Baseball right away. I think it there's a number of fronts, too, that it could benefit not only team performance from them doing so well, but also it seems like fans are clamoring now for, like, their, you know, the top prospects that they get in drafts.
Well, yeah, why wouldn't they?
Because it's kind of like, you know, the NFL has been doing that model for a while, but they don't have minors. College is your minor league,
right?
Is your minor league football in a sense?
Well, it's about exposure,
right?
Because you know, college football, you're exposed to that every Saturday, and you can watch and you could see the guys like last year, the guy that came on the scene quick, right, in the NFL was C.J. Stroud. Let's use him for an example. People saw C.J. Stroud play a lot of games. You didn't have to be in Columbus to watch C.J. Stroud play. So I think the more as we go on to really add to your conversation and to your point, which is a good one, and I see where you're getting at here, is that I think the more exposure you have to players in college baseball, and if they're on ESPN more, if they're on the SEC network that people get, the Big Ten network, and you're seeing these big-time prospects, that you will clamor to wanting to see them whenever they get drafted ASAP.
See, I think that, you know, you brought up a point, actually, that I wasn't quite touching on, but it makes sense, and that's a good one. And that's something I didn't consider. They're exposed. Like, college football is in higher demand than minor league baseball.
Yes.
But also, my point otherwise was when players get drafted, like when Skeens got drafted, Pittsburgh was excited.
Mm-hmm.
I think when Henry Davis got drafted, there were people that were excited. You have high anticipation of these first-round picks, I mean, because of the nature of when they were selected. And so I think that it's been tough for baseball because they've had to wait for these players to come up. You're waiting a year or two for a lot of these players to come up and actually make an impact. Whereas in football, they're making an impact immediately. When you get a draft pick, that pick is going to make an impact right away. That's the nature of football. I think that baseball may be getting a sense, and maybe the Pirates are starting a trend where if you have a guy that's good enough, give them a shot,
mm-hmm.
and you may be able to reap rewards. And before the league figures out said player, I hope nobody figures out Skeens. It doesn't seem like that's going to happen anytime soon, but you get my point. Like, before the league figures out this player, let the player come up and feel the experience of the majors and see what impact that player can make right away.
Well, it's also about dollars, too.
Like, yeah, I mean, think about Paul Skeens drawing in the crowds.
That's what I'm saying.
Like, there's that,
like,
too.
Like, people forget that this is a business at the end of the day, and if I was an owner and I had a 1-1 pick that people knew about, that people were exposed to, that could see, that are excited about, like, I want to put butts in seats. And if I think that they are ready and they can prove that they are ready, and I see that they can transition easy enough, well, if you're the GM at this point, can see that they can transition easy enough, you're killing two birds with one stone. And that's what the Pirates are doing.
There's a lot of benefits from it, it seems, as we continue to talk. This is a good discussion. Yeah, there's a lot of benefits that can come from.
Like, could you imagine the home opener? Like, we know what Skeens was like that first game, right?
Yes.
What was it, May 10th, 11th, something around there. And how excited we all were for that. Could you imagine if that was the start of the season for PNC Park, the home opener, Paul Skeens was on the mound? Could you imagine the draw that would have pulled? And where would he be at now if he was already up here then?
I don't think it would have pulled any more draw than he did when he came up midseason.
I think it definitely would have. Because you're already getting a draw for opening day. Because it's opening day.
Do you mean on the road, or did you want
here,
him to start the home opener.
Okay.
Like the game we were at.
Yes. Could you imagine that day if Skeens was on the mound?
See, I got to tell you, I think that there was a lot of anticipation for Jarrett Jones already, because they had already played like 7 games, I think.
Yes.
So I think people wanted to see Jones at that point.
For sure.
He kind of stole the show.
For sure.
Would Skeens have drawn in more people? I mean, I that's a hard question, to be honest with you.
I think
they started so hot, and it was like, for the briefest moment, you put Skeens in the back burner because they were doing well. I think there was more of a clamoring for him when they started struggling, at the end of April.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I don't know. I get what you're saying, but I don't know.
But okay, so think about it. If you're a different club, like if you did have this a Paul Skeens come up, you did draft 1-1, it was a pitcher, and you didn't have a Jarrett Jones. Like that
then
day,
I think they,
your,
then I think they would,
day.
Then I think they would have done worse in the first few games, and then you would have wanted to see him for the desire to win.
I'm just saying, just think about it. If they would have did bad, if they would have did good for the first 7 games, who cares? Say they went 0-7, say they went 7-0, what they go.
I'll give it the blank. I get what you're saying. Yes,
you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
that
there would
day,
have been a high demand to watch the game, yes.
And I think that what you're trying to say is that maybe teams will skip over the minor league portion of it and just, hey, you're ready to go? Let's go. We can kill two birds with one stone. We can get butts into seats. It's our home opener. You're on the mound. Here's the ball, and let's roll. And I think that would benefit a lot of clubs, and I do. I kind of do agree with you that Skeens may have opened the door for that more than ever. But he is an all-star, and so is Ryan Reynolds. Got to talk about that a little bit coming up next. Fan Hotline is presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Dickerson Callis here with you on the Fan Morning Show. Jeff Hathorn will join us at 7 a.m. I haven't talked to Jeff in a while. He was on a 2-week vacation. Where was he at? New Zealand or something like that?
Yeah, I think so.
New Zealand?
Australia.
Australia? No, I think he was skiing.
He said he was by the Sydney Opera House. Is that in New Zealand? I don't know.
Listen.
He was somewhere else. He wasn't on this continent.
I'll tell you what. There's one place I do not want to go, and that's Australia. Out of all the places that I could go outside of this country, I do not want to go to Australia. The bugs are huge there. The spiders are huge there. Great white sharks are there. It just seems like an insane place, and it's all the way across the whole entire world. Like I like the vibe of Australia a lot. I really do. But I can never see myself getting on a plane and going to Australia, knowing that how big the things are there. Like snakes. Have you ever seen like the spiders that they have? They're as big as this room.
Where can you find those? Where have you seen them?
In Australia.
You've been there?
No, I've seen pictures of them.
That's what I meant. Yeah. Okay.
You don't think they're real?
No, I do.
I mean,
I'm not a big traveler. I never thought about it.
No, I like the vibe. I like the I like Australian people. I like everything about it, but I could never probably go to Australia. I don't know. The Sydney Opera House, you said?
Yeah.
We got to check that out.
Very famous.
I don't know. Is it in Australia? It would make sense because that is the capital.
But he said he walked by there and he saw it. He didn't go in, I don't think. Well, yeah, Sydney, Australia.
Is it? He was in Australia?
I think so.
Wow. Good for Jeff. We'll have to talk to him about that when we talked to him in about 20 minutes now. Callis, Brian Reynolds, all-star. Did you see the video of him whenever Shelton was like, yep. Hey, you know, it should be a bottle of bourbon, but I'll give you a bottle of champagne. You're an all-star. He seemed really enthusiastic. Brian Reynolds, thank you. That's great. I appreciate it. All right. He just doesn't. He got nothing.
I'll ask you this as an athlete. I mean, is there a point where that becomes like a demoralizing attitude? Like guys who are just like, they can't get excited about anything. They're just, everything's business.
Yeah.
Does it come a point where that's just, it gets old and tired and it's non-inspiring?
Yeah. I was honestly thinking the same. That's funny you bring that. I was thinking the same thing when I was watching that. And I was like, man, come on. Like you're regarded as one of the best baseball players in your sport. Like this is what you worked for your whole entire life. Like, give me something, man. Like he probably, I don't know, because I mean, I'm not his teammate, but he may act different whenever the cameras aren't on, like in the locker room, but whenever he knows the cameras are on, like he's smart. Like these guys are smart.
But even fans too, I would think, like you'd want to see a little extra.
Yeah.
Give me something that's fun.
I know.
I remember Aaron Judge of the Yankees, he was criticized at first for being too business, but like he hit a home run in the wild card game and his emotions finally came out. So at least you saw something. Reynolds has been around for a while now.
Right. Right. He gets in nothing. He's just all business. But, you know, who meets their own, if that's how he is, like, that's fine with me. I mean, I'm not really that upset about it, but
funny. I know I critique guys for being too much a lot, but there's also, I think, something to be said for people who are not enough.
Yeah. It's almost like, do you not appreciate this? Like, why aren't you just a little bit excited?
Or maybe it is an act for the cameras.
I don't know. I don't know. Skeens is an all-star as well. A lot of us been clamoring for that, and it finally happened. And I think he's very, very well deserving. He's one of the he's a must see athlete, and I don't care how young he is. I don't care how many games he started. I don't care how many days he's been on the major league roster. He's must see TV, and is the proponent of the All-Star game. You want to see the best players. You want to turn it on and see the names that you know. I know there's a lot of kids maybe in Seattle or Spokane, Washington right now that know about Paul Skeens. Or a lot of kids in, you know, Waco, Texas that know about Paul Skeens. Or a lot of kids in Idaho that know about Paul Skeens because of the things he's been doing. I don't know. I just threw out names. The first cities that came to my mind that are kind of random.
That should be a game.
We should
we play sometime. Name the most random places in America. Right.
But my question, we should, you know what? If we could, let's come up with that for like 9 o'clock if we can. You could quiz me on like the most random cities in America. I actually probably would be decent at that because I'm weird and I know weird stuff like that. But my question to you real quick before we have to take a break, did Mitch Keller get snubbed?
No, he struggled a couple times, a few times early in the year. I don't think. Now, actually, you could make the same argument for Reynolds, though, because he didn't really get hot until June. Maybe he did.
Yeah, I think that
it's difficult for pitchers to get in, though. It really is.
I think that definitely fueled him yesterday.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, you could tell. You could tell that he was in the zone. And he's been pitching pretty decent. I mean, he had that one bad start last week, but he's been pitching really, really well. I mean, he obviously well enough to be considered for the All-Star, and he still might be with injuries and things of that nature. But I definitely think that he had a little chip on his shoulder yesterday whenever he was pitching. The Fan Morning Show Twitter poll is brought to you by P.J. Fitzpatrick Home Improvement. Trust PJ.com. When we come back, there's another little nugget for the All-Star Game festivities that I want to run by Callis and see if he's interested in. We'll talk about that next. The 50-minute mark on the Fan brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Dickerson, Callis here with you. On the Fan Morning Show, Jeff Hathorne will join us next on the Fan Morning Show. Callis, obviously Reynolds, he's an all-star. We just talked about it and how non-enthusiastic he was about receiving the honor. And Skeens is an all-star, which is very well-deserving. And, you know, he's not too high, too low of a guy either. He's kind of just right in the middle, kind of just, you know, content with everything and doesn't really show his emotions too much. But, you know, maybe that's baseball players and, you know, maybe that's just how they get down. I have no problem with it. But people are so enamored now, and we had a pretty good discussion about this maybe a month ago with Crowley, of like exit velocity, miles per hour, how hard a hit is, how hard home runs are, how far home runs are, and things of that nature. You know, the analytical, the numbers, and how strong a guy is. And we had Neil Walker on a couple weeks ago, and we asked him the question, you know, about the batting averages around Major League Baseball, and he did say that that has a lot to do with it. You pay more attention, basically, to OPS than you do batting average because guys are more prone to, and you know, almost not constructed, but, you know, just put in a place to hit the ball out more than put the ball in play. That's how baseball is now. So whenever it comes to the home run derby, would you want to see O'Neal Cruz get the call of participating in the home run derby? Because of all those things, how enamored we are about how hard he hits the ball, how far he hits the ball. Isn't that what the home run derby is about?
Yeah.
Is showcasing that?
I'd like to see him. I've never seen him take batting practice, though. Sometimes that can play a factor.
Why? Why? I mean, wouldn't it be better?
I know that there have been players in the past who have claimed that they've ruined their swings doing the home run derby. I'm worried about long-term effect. I think not. I mean, it would be exciting to see him, but I also think a lot of guys change their swing to get more elevation on the ball. If he does that naturally, I'd say sure. It's a fun event, but I don't, with the way he's been struggling, I don't know if I want him to. At times he's been struggling. When he's hot, he's great.
Let's take all that out.
Okay,
would you want to see him?
Yes, I would like. In a vacuum with no risks, I would say yes. Yes. I'd like to see him. I think that he's an exciting hitter. I think he hits the ball far, and it would be cool.
See, when I was growing up, the home run derby was must-see TV. Like, I would watch the home run derby and barely would watch the All-Star game. Do you feel like it still has the same effect? You feel like the home run derby still has that allure about it?
I think with the clock, it's been way more exciting.
Do you?
Yeah, because now the guys don't have to worry about, like, managing outs. They don't have to take an infinite amount of pitches, it almost seems. They can just free swing. Makes it extra exciting.
Mm-hmm.
I think before it was starting to lose its luster because it was becoming boring. Because guys would just take pitch after pitch after pitch, and you're just waiting and waiting. And I felt bad in 2015, Yasiel Puig was in it, and he, or 2014, whatever it was, but he didn't hit a single home run because he wasn't managing his outs well.
Mm-hmm.
I think he would have been more confident and more exciting if he would have just been able to swing without penalty in a timed segment.
Now, I mean, I am not privy to this, and you'll probably have the answer. Can you be a part of the home run derby if you're not a part of the All-Star game?
Yes.
Okay.
It's happened plenty of times, yeah.
Okay. All right.
Vladdy Guerrero Jr., our guy.
He was
once, like, so 2019, he was in the home run derby, but not the All-Star
game.
Mm-hmm.
All right. All right. I would want to see O'Neal Cruz.
Me too. Yeah.
You know, just for everything that I said. Like, I mean, we're so enamored by that stuff. I'm not enamored. I want to see... You know, I'm more about how consistent you are of hitting home runs and how good of a batter you are than how fast and how hard it's hit off your bat and, you know, the tracking of all that stuff. But for an event like this, like, that's why I do believe that they do that, because you want to showcase that. And he would be, one of the perfect players to put in an All-Star game because people are so enamored by that stuff with him.
He's tall and he hits the ball hard.
Yes.
And far.
Yes. Where's the All-Star game at?
Texas this year. New Globe Life Field.
Nice.
They just built it in 2020.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Is PNC Park still, like, top three best baseball venues?
I still think it's the best.
Number one?
I think Milwaukee American Family Field, that I think took it from the Pirates. Yeah. Officially, because the Major League Baseball has, like, the rankings. They rank the parks.
When did they do that?
I think they do it every year. Or every few years. The Pirates had it in 2011. Mm-hmm. They had it for a few years after that, but Milwaukee stole it back. And it's upsetting. They've got a retractable roof, and their background is covered, but they have a swirly slide for the mascot. I think that...
Oh,
yeah,
that's nice.
You ever seen it out in left field?
No.
Maybe not. Yeah, there's a whole swirly slide. Whenever they hit a home run, the mascot goes down the slide and gets everybody pumped, yeah. Baseball, man.
I know. It's great. It's great.
Did you hear about the hot tub too Arizona has in right center field?
No.
There's a hot tub. Fans can pay extra money.
How big is it?
It's pretty big. It's almost pool size, but it's a hot tub, and fans can sit in there, and sometimes home runs get hit there because it's right next to one of the walls in the outfield. Arizona, yep.
Jeez,
a lot of quirks in some of these ballparks.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, man. Well, whatever draws fans in. Hey, do it. If you got the money, do it. Jeff Hathorn joins us next. First Fan Weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. It's the Chevy Summer Drive at Sun Chevrolet. Up to $7,500 in rebates. Terms and conditions at sunchevy.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey everybody, Jeff Phelps here. The National Sports Collectors Convention is coming to Cleveland. And so is PSA's tradition for grading the show's finest. Submit your collectibles for on-site authentication over 5 days starting July 24th and see why PSA is number one in preserving and enhancing value for cards, tickets, packs, autographs, and memorabilia. More info at psacard.com. PSA, our label means more.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim. Located at the Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of our six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of our massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Plug in a Hyundai EV and the extraordinary happens. It's not just the ultra-fast charging capability and long range in the Ioniq 5 and Ioniq 6, or the adventure-seeking spirit of the Kona Electric, or the groundbreaking 601-horsepower Ioniq 5N. And it's not just the comfort in knowing that every Hyundai EV is backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited electric battery warranty. Hyundai's EVs transform a low hum into a loud adventure. They bring color to your journey and turn energy into main character energy. So forget everything you thought you knew about EVs and turn the extraordinary into something truly electrifying. There's joy in every journey.
EPA estimated 303-mile driving range for 2024 Ioniq 5 SE SEL limited rear-wheel drive and 361-mile driving range for 2024 Ioniq 6 SE long-range rear-wheel drive with fully charged battery. Estimated range varies for other models and trims and depends on battery capacity, temperature options, and other factors. Limited battery warranty covers defects and materials for 10 years or 100,000 miles, whichever occurs first. See owner's manual for complete warranty details and limitations. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.